Right, well, here I am again. I was here last August, and I was joking with Steve that I wore the same shirt as last August. I do have more than one shirt, but maybe it's just before I bring God's word, just a time of prayer. Lord, I just thank you so much for all your great love and your mercy and every single blessing that you give to us. Lord, you know the circumstances around the preparation of this sermon. Lord, you know every single detail of it, and you know the various difficulties, and yet, Lord, you have been so, so faithful. And Lord, I just want to say publicly how much I love you and for every single part of your faithfulness to me. And Lord, that doesn't just extend to me, it extends to every single person here this evening and to all who know and trust in you. So Lord, I just want to give you grateful thanks from the very depth of my heart, and I thank you for this wonderful opportunity and privilege of preaching your word. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So where do we go? Where do we start? I have an opening statement. It says this: for the past 2 weeks, we have witnessed some amazing sporting achievements in the Olympic Games, and with more in store for the next fortnight. It's the Paralympics. Each time a particular athlete completes an event, is that conflicting somewhere? Sorry. Each time a particular athlete competes or completes an event successfully, the media quickly moves in to interview them. On every occasion, despite them enjoying the elation and the excitement of winning a medal, usually a gold if it comes to GB, yeah, they're asked how they won. And the answer is always kind of the same. Yes, I've worked hard for 4 years, dedication and commitment. But then they say something else, don't they? They say, but I couldn't have done it without the help from my coach. I couldn't have done it without the help of my coach. You see, the coaches are the unsung heroes. They are behind the scenes, rarely seen on camera, but they are the encourager, the power and strength behind each athlete. So, please do not think in any way that I'm being irreverent here, but as Christians, who is our unsung hero? Who provides encouragement, guidance, and strength? It's simply the person of the Holy Spirit. This evening's theme is entitled Keeping... Is it me that's making this horrible noise? Shall I change? Thanks. This evening's theme is entitled Keeping in Step with the Spirit. So, the Holy Spirit. The mere mention of the Holy Spirit throughout the Old and the New Testament begs the question, where do you start? And probably, which is probably a bit more important tonight, where does it finish? It's a big subject. It's a big topic. Where do you start? Where do you finish? So, I'm just going to mention one aspect of it. One tiny aspect, maybe. I must admit that when I first started preparing for this message, it began fairly light. But as I began to dig deeper into God's word and the number of Bible verses and passages increased, my prayers increased alongside them. This is quite a subject, and it was important for me to remain focused on this one aspect. Matt was asking me last Sunday morning how my preparation was coming along. And at that very point, I was still undecided between two particular passages of Scripture. What did Matt say? Pick one. What did Sean say yesterday morning? Pick one. Don't go with two. I'm pleased to tell you, I'm going with one. Thank you. As a result, I hope that this evening's message is clear, concise, and above all, encouraging. You know, it really is nice to stand here. It is nice to look out at your faces, because you're just a really nice group of people. You're all really smiling back, and it's quite encouraging, it really is. I was talking to a friend of mine, because I needed to print this off today. You know, there's nothing like leaving things to the last minute, is there? But you know, this friend of mine isn't a Christian. And she said, "Cor, you speak in the church tonight?" I said, "Yeah, I'm speaking in the church tonight." I said, "But you know, it's really nice." She says, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, you know, if you could have arms far longer than mine, it's like you just want to wrap your arms around these people, kind of." I'm not going to do that. But you know, it's that sort of sense. And she kind of said, "Oh, yeah, see what you mean." I think she did. Anyway, moving on. Just as I've mentioned, it is my intention only to deal with one small aspect of how the person of the Holy Spirit plays in our daily walk as Christians. You see, the Holy Spirit forms an intrinsic part of our being. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. The Holy Spirit, got four bullet points here. One, helps us to lift our voices in worship and praise. Guides us in our thoughts and prayers. Reveals truth and understanding as we read God's word. It aids us in our understanding and discernment of what we hear. And can touch our hearts in such a way we are truly empowered and accomplish great things for God. On our Saturday morning prayer meetings, it's almost like Terry has upped the ante, Reg. She has. You should be there. She's on a mission. The passage of Scripture we read in Galatians 5 is entitled Life by the Spirit. In verses 22 and 23, it speaks of the fruits of the Spirit, which we can display within our lives. They are not our fruits. They are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. But by keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, they can be lived out in our lives. This evening, we have 3 points. That's unusual, isn't it? I think they're there. Sorry, right. They're on there. Whoa. Thanks, Ange. Right. 3 points. Have they been there a long time? Right. Our relationship with the living God, our personal walk with God, and our witness. Clear, concise, I hope. I've got a couple of little subheadings that drop underneath these in the next few slides, but what I really would say is that watch out for these first 2 points because they can emerge, okay? I haven't clearly defined the first 2 points. They kind of run one into the other. I'm sure you forgive me for that. Okay, so we've got 3 points. Underneath point one, and they will come up on the screen, and I will repeat it possibly. Point number one, our relationship with the living God. Is living for God, and what does that mean? Our personal walk with God, keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, our witness, having considered our relationship and walk with God, then we cannot fail to live it out in our daily lives, whether it is our interaction with fellow believers or with non-believers. You know, as some of you know, certainly Pete does, because I think Pete uses the same daily notes, I use our daily bread. Okay? I tried to leave it go and try something else new a few years ago, but I'm back to our daily bread. There's just something about the daily bread, it just sits right for me. It works for me. And once we find a daily notes that works, it's nice, isn't it? So, our daily bread. You can even get it on a computer app now, so it's fantastic. But anyway, I'm not going to sell you the oil of daily bread. What I'm saying is this, that as the people who read it, there's a Bible reading, and then there are a few words around that. And then it ends in a prayer. And finally, there's a little quote on the bottom in bold, which helps you to reflect on what you've just read. This was over a year ago, I think, possibly a year ago. But there was one little quote on the bottom of a page this particular morning that read as follows. It says, if you're not living for God, you don't see what God wants you to see. Just say that again, eh? If you're not living for God, you don't see what God wants you to see. This really hit home. Living for God. And what's all that about? Well, it's all about spending time with Jesus. And how do we do that? Page 10. May I suggest setting time aside during some part of the day to spend with the Lord, reading his word and praying. It was only just last week on a Saturday morning prayer meeting that when mentioned about prayer, someone said, or even prayed it, I'm not really sure. Prayer is the open door into God's presence, a door that never closes day or night. It is so, so wonderful that no matter what time of day or night, you know, we can bow our heads, we can close our eyes, or we can just simply look up with our eyes wide open, but we have access to God. And that is a wonderful privilege. You know, these times are precious, quiet times. I call them the one-to-ones with God. Spending time with our Heavenly Father, it's also a time when we can set the record straight. We can come to a holy God, a God who created all that we see, a God who is our Heavenly Father. We approach not in our own righteousness, but a righteousness bought by the precious blood of Jesus. So we come in humility. And we sometimes need to come and say sorry. Why? Because we're just human. Far from perfect. Yes, we are forgiven through the power of the cross, but we still get things wrong. We do things wrong. We say things wrong. We simply don't always get it right. We're human. And this is one of Paul's points. This is the point he was making in the opening verses of the passage we read. So if we just turn to Galatians, and the first couple of verses, it says this. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humble in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. What Paul is dealing here is not just our relationship with non-believers, but with the fellow believers. You know, I've sometimes said in the 30 years of being a Christian, and I have said this, that sometimes, you know, as Christians, we're our own worst enemies. You know, we've got something really special at Street Baptist. And things have ticked along quite nicely for a number of years. And we all want that to happen for the very near and far future. But I think for those in this service tonight who have been Christians many years, you know precisely what I'm talking about. we can hurt each other. Paul knew only too well how easily we fall back into our old ways. He put it into words in Romans 7, verses 21 to 25. This in itself could be a sermon, but we're not. We're just going to use it as an illustration. What's Paul saying in Romans 7? Well, it starts well before verses 21 and 25, but I just want to pluck out verses 21 and 25. This is his wrangling. And he's saying this. So I find this law at work when I want to do good. Evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from the body of death? But then he goes and says this in that wonderful finish. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, we wrangle. Yes, we are forgiven. But we've got this still in us, haven't we? We've still got the old self in us. And it is a battle. And we recognize it. And it could sometimes really drag us down. And we can get us really upset. And yet we can just keep going back to God's word. You know, and by his power and by prayer, we can say sorry. And he puts us back on track. The writer of the Hebrews tells us this in Hebrews chapter 12. You won't even need to turn to it. You know it so well. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. It's a verse that keeps, has always been in the forefront of my mind, that. The sin that so easily entangles. We get wrapped up. We're at work. Situations at home. Sin can easily entangle us. But we have a Heavenly Father. He knows us through and through. And when it comes down to it, he is only looking at our heart, our motives, our sincerity. I had a wonderful conversation with my, it was a great conversation with my brother-in-law right back in early April, walking down a country lane. What did he say to me? Are you still going to church, Pete? Well, that was open to debate, because as most of you know, I sometimes don't make it for various reasons, and I have been working away, but you know, due to family circumstances, sometimes I'm not maybe as where I should be, which is here. But you know, I said to him, "Yes, I am still going to church," and we talked about. I had a wonderful opportunity to share my faith again, and of course. We're many years down the road now, and here I am telling my brother-in-law the same thing as what I probably told him 25 years ago. But you know, I did say that to him though, you know, as we were walking along, that you know, because he was talking about religion and being religious, and I was kind of telling him that I wasn't religious. And he couldn't quite get his head around that. So I just simply said that, you know, God's not interested in all the trippings and the trappings. What God's interested in is right there. It's your heart. You know, and I said, we're not talking about this big muscle, are we, that pumps up and down and pumps the blood around. I said, you know, you were in a soldier for 26 years, Keith. You know what I mean by heart. If you haven't got your heart in something, you haven't got it, have you? You know, and that's what God looks at. And, you know, that conversation ended, but, you know, I just pray once again that, you know, with every single member of my family who are not You know, they don't belong to Jesus. They don't know Jesus. You know, we just pray, like we all pray, for every single member of our family who doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You see, we're never going to fool God, and we can never run away. Something which we heard about last Sunday, about someone who ran away. So we're never going to run away. He has the power to forgive, and we have the wonderful assurance that Jesus, who sits at the right hand of God, is constantly interceding for us on our behalf. You see, the key points are these. We've got to keep short accounts with God, and we don't play fast or loose with God. And you know, one of the mechanisms about doing that is having quiet times, just spending time with the Lord. And we do keep short accounts with Him. You know, what do I mean by playing fast and loose? Well, sometimes we do. Sometimes we do play fast and loose with God. And of course, it's not just about saying sorry. It's also to say thank you for God's many blessings. Many times throughout our Christian lives, we see God work in some amazing ways. Speaking to us through the reading of His Word, or listening to the preaching of His Word, during a quiet time, alone, or in corporate prayer meeting with fellow Christians. It could have been during a happy, joyous occasion, or a sad occasion, during a time of great personal trial, or the challenge of helping someone going through a personal trial. And God enabled you and helped you to support them. There's a chorus that we sang last Sunday, and that chorus came to me every day last week. I think I was heard singing in the corridors at work. They get used to it, it's okay. And I don't even sing very well, but every blessing you pour out to me, I'll turn back to praise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It bubbles up in you. You spend time with God, that one-to-one. You're praying. It's precious. It bubbles up. You know, Paul, it happened to Paul time and time and time again. You can see it when you read his letters, can't you? How he gets sick. He kind of gathers momentum, doesn't he? You know, where did Ephesians 3 come from? You know, where did the height and the depth and the breadth come from? Where did the doxology come from in Romans? It came from that spirit rising up in Paul, wasn't it? He just got carried away. Because he wasn't writing, he was telling someone, wasn't he? There was someone grabbing away. Hang on, Paul. Just hold on a minute. But you know, it was a bubbling up, spending time with God. You know, I'm not telling anyone anything new here, am I? We've all experienced it. But what I don't want to do is let go of it. I don't want you to let go of it. I want you to keep experiencing it. You know, I just said a minute ago that I haven't been to church for quite some time for various reasons. You know, quiet times to me are really special times. They keep me going. So, I must encourage everyone to have quiet times. That's what it says here. If you will let them slip, or you have never considered a quiet time, please let me encourage you to start. It's building and retaining our relationship with the living God. Sometime last year, Derek Hills preached one morning at Brookside, and finished the service with a quote from Spurgeon. I don't know whether you recall that. It was on a little piece of paper. Or was it the little piece being given to me after the service? I asked him for it. I don't know. And he said, I can't quote the whole thing. I haven't got it. But one of the things I want you to catch hold of, he says this, the quote from Spurgeon, and he's a very small portion of it, spending time in God's presence, you can catch hold Yeah? Of the Spirit of Jesus. You can catch hold of it. And it's true. It's true. It's true. It's like you're reading the Bible and you're going, wow, how many times have I read that? How many times have I read that? And yet you just catch hold of what Jesus is saying to you. It's precious. It's precious. It seems incredible. I haven't really been talking long, have I? But guess what? It brings me to my final point. Is that okay? Is that allowed? Yeah. So, heard me say this before? I'll say it again. We have a loving Heavenly Father who sent His only Son, Jesus. He sent His only Son into this world to save us from all sin. By acknowledging your sin and saying sorry, by asking Jesus to turn your life around, inviting Him into your heart, Jesus is faithful to forgive you. How did He do it? How can He do it? Well, He's done it. He did it over 2,000 years ago. Jesus died on a cruel cross to take our sin. He died in our place. And what is truly amazing is He defeated sin and death forever. You know something? I've just remembered something. Sorry. It's not my final point. I knew it was something wrong. One, two. Sorry. Can't be. Sorry about that. Go to the page. I knew there was something wrong. I looked at the clock, I knew there was something wrong. Sorry, that means we're here for another hour. No, it doesn't. Right, you just got all the end of it. Right, bit in the middle. We haven't got the scripture. Oh, sorry. Okay, so let's return to the passage in Galatians 5. Okay, this is what it says. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious, and this was read so well by Carl. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, in 1 Peter, in chapter 4, entitled Living for God, Peter talks about something very similar. It was a passage of scripture that I toyed with when I was preparing this. But it talks of a similar thing. It's another stern warning. But you know, in that portion of scripture, it also says that people wonder why we don't do those things, why we don't join in. You know, when we're at work, at college or school, you know, we don't join in the gossip and we don't swear. And people might just ask the question, why is that then? Why is that then? And if they don't, they certainly notice it. It was quite a lovely thing, really, that it must be 5 or 6 weeks ago now that I took a group of third-year apprentices who I've known for probably the best part of 4 years, really, now. They're coming to the end of their apprenticeship. And it was just an afternoon where we had to do something that wasn't electrical at all. It was an exam which they had to pass, which was kind of strange. You might think this is a strange thing to do. It's called a reading listening exam, where I had to organize a group of apprentices to discuss an unknown topic for 15 minutes and then mark them. Quite unusual. Did everyone join in? Did everyone participate? Did someone give someone an opening? But before we got onto it, they were sat talking, these group of apprentices, and one of them said this: "Oh, well, you know, when we do things in temper and we do things just completely out of the blue, like throw a hammer down or stamp your foot or stamp your hand, you know, we can't help that. It's not our fault. It's the inner chimp in us. It's because we come from monkeys. It's just the one thing evolution hasn't just quite sorted out." And I was listening to this with great intrigue. And you know, they've known me for 3 years. And I just could not. I just could not let have that conversation just slip by. So I put it to them. I said, "Well, what if you're someone who doesn't believe that you come from a chimp?" And they were all aghast. "What's Peter just said?" I said, "I don't believe I came from a chimp. I believe that God created me." "What?" "Yeah, I do. I believe in the Bible." "What?" "Yeah." You know, and it went on from there. And you know, I was very careful and very cautious, because I'm in a teaching situation. So you've got to observe carefully. And yet, I had a whiteboard behind me. I was in a classroom. And I just went with it. You know, it was wonderful, because I was able to share my faith. I was able to tell them that I didn't just believe, I didn't come from a chimp, but I told them what I believed in. And you know, it's scary. When we share our faith, it is scary, and yet it's something lovely and amazing, isn't it? So they know now that I'm a Christian. Didn't know before. They know I'm a Christian. They know that I believe what the Bible says. And I think perhaps I might have left them a little shell-shocked. But you know, they were back the last week. I'm still treated with the same respect as I was the week before. Perhaps maybe a little bit more cautious now. Maybe I don't know. I don't know. But you know, it was wonderful. And I even told them about sin, because when you mention sin, it all gets a little bit uncomfortable. It's all a bit old-fashioned. Sin? Isn't that some old-fashioned thing, Pete? You know, and I even did what I do with the children in Sunday school. I told them what sin was. It's a seed, isn't it? It's a seed. And you know, I just thank God afterwards that I just sowed a seed to some young people. Because you know, I kind of said to them that so many people live two-dimensional lives these days. There's no spiritual aspect to their life whatsoever. And that's really sad. And of course, if they don't believe in the Bible, and they don't, you know, if they do believe in evolution, then you know what's even sadder? That means then they don't really believe they've got a soul. Hell? What's that? Heaven? What's that? So we are really starting from a What sort of place? We're starting from a place where people have got a complete unbelief. So perhaps we can shine out. Then, what does it say? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. So, if we want to display the fruits of the Spirit in our lives, why? What is the message we're sending out? We want people to see God's goodness displayed in our lives. Because we want people to come to know Jesus. And this is just one of the many ways that the world might just see we are different. That we might ask the question, that they might ask the question, why don't you join in with the gossip at work? Why don't you swear? Why do you go to church? All openings, all opportunities, and spending time with the Lord in those precious times, he will give us the words. He will give us the tactfulness. He will give us the sensitivity to witness for him. We're in tune. We're in step with the Spirit. So what is our message? That Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Sounds really simple. But we all know that it isn't. I've just said it, I'll say it again. Sharing our faith is scary, but also amazing at the same time. I do not know every single person here. So, I don't know where everyone stands in the light of this message. Here it is then. We've already had a preview of this page. So you also know it's the close of the his last point. So, may I suggest? No. Tell you what I'll do. If I just quickly lose. So let me say, you've heard this twice, we have a loving Heavenly Father who sent his only Son Jesus into this world to save us from all our sin. By acknowledging Jesus, or should I say, by acknowledging your sin and saying sorry, by asking Jesus to turn your life around, inviting him into your heart. Jesus is faithful to forgive you. How can he do it? Well, I said this as well. He's the good news. He did it over 2,000 years ago. Jesus died on a cruel cross to take our sin. He died in our place. And what is truly amazing is he defeated sin and death forever in one single act. How? The same Holy Spirit we have talked so much about this evening had the power to raise Jesus from the dead, thereby defeating sin forever. And where does Jesus sit? Well, we've also mentioned this evening, at the right hand of God, interceding for us. Hebrews again says this, Oh, it does say that in Hebrews. You know, you may be sat here this evening thinking, I know some really good people who don't believe in God or Jesus. They're kind-hearted. They work unceasingly for charities. They're good loving people, good living people, the law-abiding people. They're not Christians. You don't know God. You don't have the peace and the joy that we have. What they're working on is Christian ethics. They might have been taught it at school, they might have been taught it at Sunday school. Although, as time goes on, that generation goes, and there isn't any generation to follow. Christian ethics. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, when he was preaching on Ephesians, said this, that it is impossible to truly exhibit Christian ethics if you're not a Christian and under the guidance of the Spirit. I agree with him. Just playing at it. You know, we just said tonight and considered tonight how difficult it is for us, and we are Christians, and we do have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. So if it's going to be difficult for us, what chance does anyone else stand? You know, I often talk to people. Do I? No, I sometimes talk to people, you know, when I'm talking about maybe our relationship with Jesus or what salvation means. You know, and I said, a lot of people are accountants. Not really. The plumbers are electricians. But they're like accountants, aren't they? They have this big book, and they're forever putting in one book what good they've done, just to sort of balance up the other book that, well, I didn't get that right, and I didn't do this right. You know, we're living with all these accountants, because that's all they've got. You know, we've got to get our message across. We really have. So, the very, very last point. What is the message we're sending out? It's this. There is a hell to shun, and there is a heaven to gain. It's a tough message. Sin is a hard pill to swallow these days. Even the very mention of the word is offensive to people. And we do live in this world of PC, don't we? We do live in this world where, in fact, what's making our message even tougher now is, oh, well, it's okay, Pete, you're a Christian, and we'll respect you for that because we live in this wonderful society where everyone has to respect everything. And yet we're trying to say, well, hang on, there's more to that. You know, don't just put me to one side and park me up. Oh, well, you're a Christian and you believe in God and you don't believe in... I still believe you can't believe that we didn't come from evolution. Anyway, but never mind. You know, they'll just park you up. But we've got a really important message. It's a life-saving message. Jesus came into this world to save sinners, just like you and me. Keeping in step with the Spirit will provide all that we need to proclaim this message, the strength that we need. What did the Apostle Paul say? I can do all things in him who strengthens me. And we should never lose sight of one other fact. It's all for God's glory. That's what we were saved for. We weren't saved to be cozy.